Welcome to episode 69 of the Collaborative Business Podcast. My name is Peter Simons and I'm your host. Today's conversation is with Sunil Mandi, who heads up Global Alliances and Partnerships at Indus Software Technologies in India. In this conversation with Sunil, we talk about how alliances are being seen as a force multiplier for Indus Software to grow the company faster and with a greater reach than they could on their own. So welcome, Sunil, to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Thank you so much, Peter. It really is a pleasure. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity and considering me for this particular discussion. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. So, Sunil, before we dive into our conversation about strategic alliances and what it means for you and your specific experience, can you introduce yourself to the listener?
Oh, very much. My name is Sunil Mandi. I currently am working for a company called Indus Software Technologies Private Limited. This is an India-based company, which is primarily into product business, software product development as we do. We primarily focus in the banking, telecom, and insurance sector. And I head the alliances and the partner program for this organization globally. Essentially meaning, whatever alliances and partners I have to set up for this organization so that we can reach out to multiple customers in different geographies as we spread.
Excellent. I noticed that the sound is a little bit soft, so when we continue, can you speak up a little bit?
Oh yeah, sure. Why not? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you. The listener will appreciate that.
Sure.
So when we look at Indus Software and strategic alliances, how important is are strategic alliances for your company?
A very good question, Peter. As a matter of fact, when we started off, I would like to take you back a little so that I can give you a bit of history of the organization and the way we have come up this way.
Yes, please.
We started in the year 1990, where predominantly we started dabbling with some software development, and eventually we got into those products. But essentially, our sale was through direct sales approach, meaning that our sales executives were going to the customers, knocking their doors, doing cold calls, and reaching out to them for the software that we had to offer, primarily in India and some places outside India as well. However, what we realized was as we have grown, we felt that the direct channel of sales was never going to be enough for us to move up the ladder or move up the chain in terms of revenue, in terms of reach, in terms of brand, in terms of market recall, and hence eventually realizing that if at all we have to grow in multiple folds and to reach out to multiple customers where the need of our software is there, we should have some sort of a channel where we could formalize a strategic alliance and have partnerships built with customers, with SI partners, so that then we are able to multiply our revenues that much more quickly year on year. So that's where the necessity of strategic alliances and partnership was realized by the organization, and that's where I came in, and I actually built strategic alliances and partnership program right from the scratch, and today as we speak have a sustaining channel through which we are doing continuous business. So to answer the question very specifically, Peter, strategic alliance for us has been really very important from a growth perspective, from a reach perspective, from a brand recall perspective.
Okay, thank you. And what are for you strategic alliances?
Strategic alliances for me, if at all I have to answer that question, I need to tell you a little bit about what we do from a software perspective. What we have essentially, I touched upon the areas and the verticals that we essentially address. But what we have is in the banking space, we specialize in the lending area and in softwares which automate most of the banking work and the telecom work as well. So strategic alliances for me are alliances which will help me or which will be vehicles for me to reach out to the large size bank, to the mid size banks, to customers where I may not be able to reach either independently or through cold calling. And hence we need to get together or we need to form an alliance where we can reach out to those new set of customers or to those marquee customers and consultants so that we are able to do more business and have a better reach in the market.
Okay, so alliances help you to your company to expand, as you mentioned, and grow the brand. Absolutely. And help you, as you nicely said, reach out to customers where you cannot reach out to alone.
Correct. Absolutely. See, one of the things that I feel I should have a mention here, since we're talking early in the alliances space. See, we have to realize, or one has to realize, that no company can go alone and achieve the kind of growth in multiple folds in today's world. So today, the landscape is getting very, very competitive, more competitive than ever. Okay, so the applicability of a successful partnership and strategic alliance is more felt today than ever. The challenges to do an alliance in a successful way in the dynamic environment and also achieve the growth, which I call as organic growth, is very, very important. So I think a structured approach to success, if at all some company or companies are looking for, then partnerships, collaborations, joint ventures, strategic alliances are the key to way forward.
I obviously, as an alliance specialist, I really like that that note that you add to it. Now, when we look at your partners, so how do you find partners, or how do partners find you?
Okay, great question again. See, one of the things that I did when we started off this program, one of the question that was in my mind is to really pin down the ways and how we would want to have or look at partners who would add value to us as well as to the customers jointly. So one of the essential things was to establish a way in which we could evaluate the right set of partners. See, there is no magical solution. We have to think through the process in the way we would want to evaluate and have strategic alliances and partnership built for our product offerings. So essentially, there has to be very, very clear thinking in terms of how we would want to do it. So one of the things that I did was to pin down the necessary things required, or basic things which are required in terms of having a successful alliance. So some of the characteristics of alliances possibly that we today are looking at is what one is the size of the alliance or size of the company vis-a-vis the size that we today are that is one. Then what is the pattern of growth that they have? What is the composition of the organization? What is the complementary offerings that the alliances may bring to the table? How is their market reach, their penetration in the market that we would want to address, and what is their focus area, what is their need in that particular market? Are they willing to do a shared risk and reward kind of an engagement or an arrangement with us? Are there any particular political challenges that we have in reaching out to a particular territory where we could look at strategic alliances which possibly will help us take us there, or look at any competitive advantage that we can have by working together in a particular region? So primarily there are few areas or few things that one has to consider, keeping the objective of success and a successful partnership to determine which partners or alliances we should have and which we should be going for to succeed together.
Understand. And in that selection process, is there also a preference for regional scope? You mentioned region briefly. Yes. in your explanation. But is, for instance, when you look at the city in London, are you looking to partners who can specifically work help you in the financial sector there, or are you looking for partners who can help you in the financial sector in the city, but also in Amsterdam, but also in the US? Or how do you work from a regional versus global perspective?
Okay. See, for that one, I'll have to maybe explain to you the way we structure our process. See, the way we look at strategic partnership and alliances is multiple fold. Typically, at the highest level, we look at the global SI partners who have global presence in multiple geographies, where they have a global footprint, they have multiple offices, they have multiple people, those who work in those offices in different regions. Those are one set of people that we may be interested in working with. Second is the set of people who are regional, who may have a regional presence. For example, there could be people in Europe catering to, let's say, 2, 3, 4 countries. It could be a DACH region, it could be Benelux, it could be Europe as a whole, or it could be Europe plus UK as a region. There may be, so that's another way of looking at regional partners. The other specific way of looking at regional partners is partners who could possibly drive the growth of the organization within a particular country. For example, there could be a partner who has good reach within a particular country, let's say France. There could be a partner who is based out of Paris, who has a very good reach in the financial sector or in the telecom sector in that particular country, or it could be Germany for that matter. Similarly, in the Southeast Asia. See, today we are present in 40 countries through our own implementation and support. So while we look at this, we also have strategy around which country we would want to have a deeper, wider connect, or whether we would want to reach out to other countries. Depending upon that, we decide whether we would want to tie up with a global alliance. Anyways, tying up with a global alliance means that we are, once we are with them in all the other countries. But tying up with a local vendor or local partner who could possibly give us that that advantage of being in that region, so that we can go deeper, wider, and cater to more customers than what we've been catering to in that particular country. So there are multiple ways of looking at how we go about doing it.
So you are very tailored to the specific region and the opportunity that's there.
Yes, and also depends on what strategy as an organization we are taking up. Year on year, or whether it's a short-term strategy or it's a long-term strategy.
Yeah, I understand. Now, when we go back a little bit to what you explained, how your company started with alliances. So you grown from a direct model, and at a certain moment you realized that to expand the growth and expand the brand globally, you needed to start work with alliances. How is your leadership of your company involved in that decision, but later on also in the day-to-day alliances?
Oh, certainly. See, if at all you have to make the alliance successful, it's a very important decision for any company. Okay, for me, alliances is coming together of two organizations jointly to add value with customers. Okay, however, it is very, very important for the top management to realize that this is very important, and the approach to this has to be very, very clearly defined, articulated, and agreed upon. So the top-down approach is very important. The senior management, the team, the leadership team has to have a buy-in, and also from the key stakeholders within the organization has to have a buy-in if at all you want to go the partnership or the strategic alliance route. So yes, definitely there has to be a buy-in, which is there from the top management. And as we go, there are different trigger points within the organization at layer 2 or layer 3 level, or tier 2, tier 3 level, where people know that these are alliances, these are partners that we need to work through. Essentially, the sales team has to be onboarded from an alliance perspective. The product team has to be onboarded from an alliance perspective. The delivery team also needs to be onboarded from an alliance perspective. And all of them at level 2, level 3 are equally informed about the model that we run with alliances and partners.
So alliances are completely embedded in your organization from the top down?
They have to be, and they are.
Good. Excellent. Now, I can imagine that you had an interesting journey when you explained that you came in and built the alliance program yourself. Yeah. Is there a specific lesson that you can share with our listeners that you learned while building the alliance program and building up the alliance partners?
Oh, definitely. There are multiple lessons that I learned throughout the journey, and it was a really very interesting journey. First of all, to pin down a program, one has to understand the needs of the organization. One has to understand where is the organization wanting to go in 1 year, 3 to 5 years, and further. So it has to be aligned with the vision, the mission, the strategy of the organization. So one has to understand that. So it was an interesting journey to understand where the company is looking at and where they want to go. That's one. Most importantly, understanding the needs of the alliance. So it is not important for you to just forge an alliance unless you understand the need of the alliance, the need of the partner, need of the partner in terms of where they see themselves, whether their vision, mission statements are in line with what you want to do with them, is there, the rate of success of having a strategic partnership on alliance is entirely dependent on that. That's a very important lesson that I really learned. So one has to understand really where you want to take your organization and where your alliances or partners want to take their organization, and whether it matches in terms of the common goals or whether there are any commonalities in directions where you want to go. There could be alliances, and this is also one more interesting learning. There are people who look at alliances from a strategy standpoint, there are people who look at it from a tactical standpoint, there are people who look at it from an operational standpoint. So one has to align ourselves in terms of what the requirement is from the partner, be attuned to it, and accordingly be able to do a course correction in terms of whether it makes sense from a larger organization standpoint to go with that, or whether we would want to have only a tactical kind of an arrangement, one-off kind of an arrangement, and keep it at that level and not venture too much into the strategy part of it. So this kind of multiple lessons I definitely learned. And obviously, at the end of the day, the proof of the pudding, Peter, is to have it. Mm-hmm. So unless you have tasted success, unless you have had success with a partner, it really doesn't make sense. So one is to have a strategic alliance, and second is to have a success in strategic alliance. So that is very, very important to actually drive or make this program more independent of people, make this program more run on its own kind of a program, unless you have success. So one is to have a strategic alliance, and second is to have success. Proof of the pudding is in having it. That's the way I look at it. So those are some of the key learnings that I had over a period of time.
Okay, and listening to you, another question comes up. In a sense, when you look at the learning and having the success, have you already had experiences where you said, well, this partnership is not a success and we will terminate it because it doesn't deliver on the promise or what we expected?
Oh yeah, obviously. Not every plan that we have is executed the way we want it to be executed. There are definitely some deviations, and those deviations may not necessarily lead us to where we want to go at the end of the day. So there are pluses and minuses, there are ups and downs, and there are successes and failures in everything that you do today. So there definitely have been instances where we have tied up with certain people, where we have signed up MOUs and agreements with certain companies where it has not really taken off from where we started. So there have been instances, yes, for sure, where we haven't succeeded, and that's where it is important for us to step back, pause for a while, see where we are, review the partnership, and then do a course correction if required, assess the situation, and then move forward.
It sounds the way you approach it, you approach it in a very mature alliance program way, in the sense that it's not a static program. It is adjusted where you need to adjust it, and also your partners will not remain on board when there is no success. So you will keep it sharp and adjust where necessary.
Certainly. The world is changing around you. So it is important for you to be aware of the changes which are happening in the world. Today, companies are being taken over. There have been acquisitions, there have been mergers, there have been sell-offs, there have been dynamics of the business which have overturned some of the plans that companies have. So you have to be attuned to all of that and keep adjusting your strategy so as to suit the larger goal or the vision that you would want to achieve by having a strategic alliance and partnerships.
When you look at your experience, and what would your advice be to a company that is about to enter into a strategic alliance?
My advice would vary from organization to organization based on their need, their size, the way they want to approach, the way they want to go. It all also depends on how the top management looks at alliances, what is their view. Unless I understand what are their views, where do they see they taking their company in the longer run, I may not want to give them any advice at this point in time, but I can only tell them that if you are on a growth path, if you believe in the company that you are building, and if you really want to grow, or inorganically, but organically, if you want to grow, apart from having a direct channel, you should seriously consider having a strong alliances and partnership program for your success of the organization. If it's a startup, Peter, then obviously the company would want to build on its own, have some credibility before even a partner we want to look at them. So once that credibility is built, then obviously there would be more partners, there would be more alliances that they want to get aligned with this organization. But for a mature company, for a company who has already some credibility in the market, and if they want to look at the paradigm shift, they want to look at the next level of growth, there is nothing else than strategic alliances and partnership that they should be looking at. We here call strategic alliances as force multiplier. So one is a direct sales which can only grow to a certain level, but if you want to have a force multiplier, when you want to have multiple people talking about your product and taking them to the market, you have to look at very seriously at strategic alliances and having partners spread across.
Thank you very much. That's a very nice advice to companies.
Sure.
Now, when we look at reading about alliances or about business in general, would there be a business book or a book about alliances that you would like to recommend?
Oh, there are multiple books, Peter, that those are there available. Some of those books you yourself have written, and I have the pleasure of reading through what you have written in your 25 tips for some partnership and alliances. So one of the books that I would recommend definitely is one of those books written by you which talks about successful partnership and alliances. It has wealth of information and all of that you have done so far. So I would recommend that.
Thank you.
One more, So there was one more interesting book that, a couple of more interesting books that I happened to read. I read a lot of books, but a couple of interesting books that I could immediately remember. One is The Strategic Alliances Handbook, which is by Mike Nevin, and another book which is Strategic Alliances, Three Way to Make Them Work, so which is by Stein Hilberg. These are the two books that I would highly recommend for people who really want to start working and start looking at the way strategic alliances and partnership are built. Those are really good books, apart from the book that I mentioned about successful partnership and alliances that you yourself have written.
Thank you. I will link to the books in the show notes, so that's easy for people to find them. Now, obviously, it's also important for people to be able to find you if they are interested to connect with you. Where can people find more about you and your business?
I am very active on LinkedIn. So one way of reaching out to me is obviously through LinkedIn. I'm there. Somebody can search my name. I'm obviously available. I'm an open networker. So anybody can reach me, can talk to me, can drop in a mail, an SMS to me. If you want, I can share my mail ID, which you can pass it on to people who want to reach out to me. I'm also a very active TAI member. TAI is the Indus Entrepreneur Group, which is present in 40 plus countries, and which does a lot of work for the entrepreneurs. So if there are any TAI members, they can search my name and I can be available. I'm available on the TAI directory, so that's another way of reaching out to me.
Okay, excellent. So is there anything, Sunil, that you would like to share with our listeners that we have not yet discussed?
Oh, sure, why not? Definitely. One of the things that I would definitely want to share is, there are important steps that one has to take. One has to get on to the journey of having a successful strategic alliance and partnership. It starts with what is there in your mind in terms of vision, mission, where you see yourself going, having a good partner and having selected a good partner, having a very good understanding of how you would want to go about being successful, what is it that complements and what is it that you really are aligning yourself for together, and having a joint GTM and also executing it well. So unless you really execute it, no strategy is as successful as you may think. So execution of that particular strategy that you have penned down is very, very important. So, and finally, success doesn't necessarily come from breakthrough innovations, but it comes obviously from flawless execution. So, however you may want to put it in paper, have contracts, have people buy in, unless you are able to execute on the field with the team and engage the right set of team with your partner and have a very clear thinking beforehand as to how and what you would want to achieve, it really doesn't make sense. So you have to have a very thought through process. Only then will a flawless execution happen, and success will be yours.
Excellent. I would like to thank you for being my guest today, Sunil.
I really appreciate it, Peter. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Collaborative Business Podcast with Sunil Mandi. As usual, you can find the links to what we discussed in the show notes over at petersimons.com. And when you have time, then please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. I would greatly appreciate it. That's it for this week. Bye for now, and until next week.